Fall is here and we could all use a stiff breeze. That's right. This episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, confidence can take you far in life, but let Blue Chew take you the rest of the way. BlueChew.com and the code TMS.
Coming up on TMS, why, the what, and not who.
If found, please return this underwear to...
All 71-year-olds are 71.
Alfalfa Spankankian Darlarla.
Mayor McCheese was recalled.
Extremely prejudicial muting.
Miss you guys and your wives.
Right-handed driving simulator.
Cosplay for concern.
You haven't seen the blah blah blah?
Who brings a gun to a baby shower?
We done did have full show.
Pee-wee's Pornhouse.
The Brothers Brown are all blue.
Jury duty. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
These girls just love me, all right? They call me Mr. Sexy Cocoa Beach, right? Hey, it's just, I'm just being myself, right?
I can touch you.
The Morning Stream. Am I still here? Hello?
Morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for Tuesday, September 21st, 2021. Yeah, that's right. 2121.
There it is. And it's your Earth, Wind, and Fire Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember.
And now I know why.
Yeah, now you know why.
Now I don't have to think about it or ask you like an idiot like I did yesterday. Now I get it.
Fully aware. Wait, so we don't actually call it Earth, Wind, and Fire Day.
I mean, if I'm ranking dumb things I said yesterday, that's up in the top two, at least. So anyway, welcome, everybody. Speaking of dumb things, I don't know how dumb this is, but I just realized something, and then I got a bunch of crap for it. So I'm going to ask you if I should have gotten crap for it, all right?
Sure.
Your honest opinion. Here we go. Lady from the Ted Lasso, blonde older lady runs the yes, owns the
Annie Lennox.
Annie Lennox looking lady. Well, I can't think of her name now. Tabitha Van Dreesen. What is it?
Yes, that's
it. Waddingham. That's it. What was her first name? Something Waddingham. Anyway, Hannah. Hannah Waddingham, that's her name.
Hannah Waddingham.
She's Waddingham. Great. Or Waddingham, I guess probably is how you'd do it there.
Okay. Yeah, Waddingham.
She's she's great and really like her in Ted Lasso.
I sure wish she'd get more excited at the Emmys. Wish.
Very subdued, very quiet and demure. No, she's very excited. But anyway, she's great and I really like her a lot. And I didn't know that she was the shame lady from Game of Thrones. I didn't know.
What?
See, Brian
no.
didn't either. See, Brian didn't know either.
I didn't know either. Seriously?
See, yeah. So now I feel even less bad because yesterday on Twitter, I did this post where I did a picture of them side by side. She's the lady that's like all covered up in the nun looking uniform with the bell going shame. And she's
shame.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you
shame?
Have, you have a bell handy? Shame. Why do you have a bell? That's great.
Just so I can do that. That is really the only thing, the only reason.
And so I got a mix of stuff on Twitter. Most people are like, whoa, I had no idea. That's what a crazy thing. I had no idea either. But then there were a few of you who did know. What is with
and
the internet?
Probably gave you crap about it.
Yeah. Why can't the internet just let me have my moment instead of going, Scott, we knew this a year and a half ago. Where have you been? It's like, calm down. I had no idea. It was just a fun little discovery that I apparently I'm not the first to find it, obviously, and I was sure it wasn't even when I posted about it, but it was a delightful discovery, and let me have my moment, okay?
Listen, I'd forgotten she was in that first season of Sex Education. She was one of the lesbian partners that had the son who was the swimmer.
Yes, the swimmer son. Yes, that is correct.
Yes, and completely forgot about that until he mentioned it too, because she looks so different in both of those roles.
Yes, and she looks totally different inside in Game of Thrones. You'd never even know it was her unless someone told
you. No, completely.
So there she was, walking behind naked, what's her name? Going shling, shling, shame, shame. And then I was just surprised, and then I got all this heat, especially this guy from Britain. He's like, yeah, Scott, like, just so you know, talented women do other things. They don't just do one thing.
Good Lord. Really?
I'm like, dude, I'm going to jump through the internet and I'm going to tie your testicles together and then I'm going to swing them around like freaking, I don't know who, little Nas X going to the whole Old Town Road, and I'm going to smack him against the wall. Like, why would you even do that to me? annoyed me.
There's people who get beat down so much in their real life that when they have the smallest upper hand of knowing something on the internet that maybe one other person didn't know, they wave it around like the biggest banner they can. So,
well, yeah.
Enjoy your banner, dude.
I muted with what do you call
it?
Muted
extreme prejudice.
Yes, extreme prejudicial muting is what I did. Which I enjoyed a lot. All right. There's that. Okay. I thought this morning, we usually have a little bit more time on a Tuesday morning before we get to news and stuff. So
No Dunaway. No games. No Dunaway. Yeah. No.
We don't have to cram all a bunch of crap in, right?
Yeah.
So instead, I'm going to read some emails, catch us up a little bit from some listeners. And I'll give you this example. This is from Jerome. There are not enough, in my opinion, there are not enough Jeromes in the world.
Right. Right.
I like that name.
True.
I like that name a lot.
I think there are 11 of them in the time. In the band, The Time.
I don't know. Is there at least one in The Time?
There's definitely at least one, because okay. Morris Day during the Bird, the song The Bird, he says, now Jerome.
Oh, right. And that's how they pass it over to Jerome.
That's how they pass it over to Jerome.
Right,
yes.
Right. I remember on Seinfeld, occasionally Elaine would refer to Jerry as Jerome, and it used to make me laugh. Well, anyway, right. Here's what Jerome says. He says, hello, SpaceX and Blue Origin. That's pretty good.
Yeah, look at that. S&B. Look at that.
It's appropriate, too. He says, I've noticed Scott sometimes uses what I find to be odd phrasing when describing a person. For example, to describe Michael Jackson, people might say, oh, he's the guy who did Beat It. But Scott would say, oh, he's the guy what did Beat It. Why the what?
Which is a funny choice for his example because of the way that's even phrased.
I completely agree. He says, why would Scott say... he's the guy what did Beat It. Why doesn't he say, or why the what instead of who? Is that a regional thing or some sort of deep frog pants reference? Love the show, though, Jerome. Jerome, I can tell you this, and it may disappoint you, and I really feel bad about this. I do it 100% on purpose, knowing that it's weird. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like doing that voice of it's like the guy up in Maine going, oh, I wouldn't go up there if I were you.
Right,
just kind of
exactly.
Like a weird colloquial, like a thing that I don't actually do in real life. I never do this. But on the show, it's like Brian could say, I don't know. Let's see. You could say.
I like that you're going to come up with another example after we've just provided.
Yeah, I have a perfect one here, but I'm going to go ahead and just add one on top of it. But let's say Brian's talking about an actor. He could say.
Yes, I can say, did you hear that they're coming up with a new, that Scott Bakula hinted that there might be a new Quantum Leap on the horizon?
Oh, I'd say, that's the guy what was in that bad Star Trek series. So you could...
There you go. See? Perfect.
Just throw it out there. So what I'm saying is, I do it because I think it's funny and I like how it sounds, and that's it, 100% it. It's not a thing that I do in normal conversation. I don't like stand in line at the DMV and they ask me where I'm from. I'm going, oh, I'm from that town. What was west of here? I don't do that.
Yeah, right. So. No, you mentioned before, like your comedic inspirations, Norm Macdonald, John Cleese, and David Letterman.
Yeah.
And even though I'd never remember David Letterman doing something like this, this feels like something that his influence would have given you, right? Like
it's
this.
Very Dave. Yeah.
Hey, Paul, did you hear? It's the guy. What did?
Yeah, totally.
Maybe don't lose my number.
You're absolutely right. That stuff comes out whether I like it or not, and it's been in me. It's been in my blood since I was a young teen watching Letterman on TV. So yes. I think that's part of it. But regardless, to me the conversation's more fun.
It's when colorful. Jerome, if we just did the, I know he's not complaining about you saying it, but boy, if we just did the, all right, here's the news. And, guy in Florida licked the snake's butt. Well, that's funny. All right. Also in the news, Jack in the Box served a taco with a finger in it. Okay. Hey, it's time for jury. You wouldn't want that. You want the flavor.
No.
We give you the flavor. It's the flair.
Yeah.
We're giving you 15 extra pieces of flair.
There you go. Bunch of flair so that you're a happier guy during the day. And here's the thing. Like I do it with lots of stuff. If Kim says, I'll do it with them. I'll say, I need to get down to the Walmart. No one says go down to the Walmart.
Right. Right, of course. Yes.
Not unironically they don't, but I do. And that's because it's fun to say. That's it. That's all it is. It's fun to say.
Right. It's flavor.
But thanks for asking, Jerome.
Flourish.
At least you asked. Sure. A lot of people just assume I'm dumb, but
those people in Utah sure talk weird.
Yeah, no one else talks like that around here, as far as I am aware. Here's one from Bernie. He's talking about generations here. He says, "Hey guys,
Star Trek movie,
Star Trek movie with the ribbon in space." Yeah. See, there's another example with the ribbon in space. Like
with
it's just
the ribbon in space. Yeah, right.
I could have said that ribbon, that time ribbon, but no.
Right.
Now I'm going to notice it every time I do it. Damn it, Jerome!
Oh no, darn it! We brought attention to it.
Damn you, Jerome! All right, hey guys, I found out that the new generation kids born from 2011 through now is called the Alpha Generation. I didn't know this.
I didn't know this either. Yeah.
Not to be confused with what alpha male or alpha dog or.
Right. So many alphas. Project Alpha.
Yeah. There's a lot of alphas.
Alpha Flight.
Right. Alpha Falfa. Wait.
Alfalfa.
Alfalfa is what I meant. Alpha Falfa.
Alpha Falfa. Oh, I loved Little Rascals and that character, Alpha Falfa. Not to mention Spank Inky. He's great too. And Buckuckwheat. Buckuckwheat was great too.
Buckuckwheat. Yeah.
Oh, man, I love. They all had a crush on Darlarla.
Yeah, Darlarla. Man, you know a lot about that. The Little Rascals.
Listen, some kids were watching Dukes of Hazzard. Apparently, I was watching episodes of The Little Rascals.
Yeah. I mean, nothing wrong with that. No judgment. A lot. Anyway, he says, I was looking at charts that broke down the generations, and one of them said for Gen X, latchkey kids, high divorce rates, etc. Is that true? We have high divorce rates in our generation? I guess we probably do. Probably more than boomers. But I'm guessing those millennials, those damned millennials just below us, they probably are, I don't know, their divorce rate would be any different. Anyway, he says, my folks bucked the trend. I think yours did too. Well, my parents were not Gen X. Our parents' generations would have to be boomers. They were born of the World War II generation. Our grandparents, right?
Right.
Yeah. I have this right.
Yeah, this right. Okay. Yes.
He says
40 years, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he says, I also saw one for parenting style for Gen X that said abandoned. Really? I don't think any of this matches up with what I know. Love the show, says Bernie. But, well, Senator Sanders, I appreciate your email. However, I don't know if I agree with a lot of that. I think the, abandoned for parenting style for Gen X.
Brian? Yeah, I didn't know that. Parenting style abandoned. I mean, I thought that because I know parents my age who are super helicoptery, right? Like who do the opposite of the free range parenting, and they just like hover over their kids every move. Oh my gosh, you got short shrifted on your hot lunch today at school and only got, you know, 11 P's while the kid down the way got 14. I'm going to go talk to the principal.
Yeah. And I know that's they mainly lay that at the feet of millennials, but I agree. I know plenty of Gen Xers who parent that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
millennials are the recipient of it while the Gen Xers are the doers of it. I guess millennials are more the Karens, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the way I look at it is, once again, I'm reminded this generational stuff doesn't actually work. Like, you can make big, broad generalizations about it, but at the end of the day, it doesn't actually really work very well. Because I didn't parent like that, and I'm definitely a Gen X. My parents were not typical boomers, the way that people view boomers today. Mm-hmm. Like, the stereotypes just don't work, you know? I mean, they work, but they don't, really. They're not very individual. They work for great generalizations. Ah, the boomers! Whoosh! Cast a wide net. Whoosh! But at the end of the day, everyone's different. Everyone's individual, and it's kind of stupid, and I don't know why we do it.
Yeah, I was 100% a latchkey kid about fourth grade on, because single mom, she was working. Sometimes she'd work late hours, and I'd have to come home and make myself a sandwich or the Tombstone Pizza later on for dinner.
Yeah.
It's like an older Tombstone Pizza. Ooh, and
used to love those.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And sometimes even see myself to bed, watch some TV, see myself to bed. And, you know, that's the way it was. That's just the way it was.
Yeah, that's a good. Lon says in the chat, just says, I'm technically a boomer, but I don't match any of the stereotypes. Yeah, people just don't. Now, Brian was kind of latchkey. I was somewhere in between. There was a period of time, probably maybe 5 years old up through about 12, where it felt like I had free range of everything. Like, just school, came home, let them know I was alive, and then I was out with my friends forever finding snakes and catching bugs and whatever we wanted to do, and then back home at night just because there was a bed there. Like,
right, exactly. It's like you were staying in a hotel on the strip, right? Where it's like, going out. Okay, just come back to the room to sleep and then get up and go for it again.
Yeah.
Who is it? Somebody was asking what a latchkey is.
Latchkey kid means it's like you let yourself in. You just kind of run. You just do your day. You don't need rules or whatever.
You've got a... I mean, I literally had a key to the house on a string on my neck.
Right.
To unlock the door so it wouldn't get lost, because that's a smart thing, you know? You run around, you're playing all the time.
Yep.
And although it seems like you could easily get that thing hooked on a monkey bars or something like that.
Did your mom make you write your name on your underwear? Because I know it's a stereotype, but mine did. Mine totally did. I had to write my name on all my underwear. I don't know why.
I do it now in case I wake up in a strange hotel, but I didn't do it then.
Everything. If you guys find an old pair of pants or an old pair of underwear that says Bibby on it, you know what's going on.
I do it. I do it during Nerdtacular weekend, TMS Vegas weekend, Dragon Con.
The entirety of your trip to Ireland, all of it.
Right, exactly. Hell, I'll probably do it during San Francisco this weekend. Sure. In case.
So are you there for a whole full weekend or just a couple of days, or what is it again?
I'm there for the full weekend. We leave late Thursday night.
Oh, that's right.
Like a couple of idiots. I let Chris Brown, who's probably listening to the show, he listens. Hi, Chris Brown. Happy 60th birthday, Chris Brown.
Yeah, happy birthday, Chris Brown. Note that I no longer don't make the Chris Brown jokes.
Exactly.
Note that I don't do it anymore, because I don't. Okay.
He picked our times to go. And because these were the cheapest flights, we're leaving very late Thursday night and we're coming back very late Sunday night.
Oh, wait. So he's going with you. He's not there.
No, technically I'm going with him. He's going there because his brothers are out there. They're throwing him a big birthday, big birthday party this weekend. And he said,
hey,
Brian.
That makes sense to me. I thought for some reason maybe he moved out there or something like that.
No. Nope, he lives out here.
All right.
That makes sense.
But his twin brothers, his brothers who are twins.
Yeah.
Who still do just look just like him. I mean, all of the Brown brothers, look like, Blue Man Group. Rejects.
Yeah. Blue Brothers.
That's right. Blue Man Brothers.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? Anyway, they're throwing him a big shindig this weekend and he asked if I'd join him. Nice. For the fun and festivities.
I think that's great. I think you're gonna have a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, he came to Vegas for my 50th. I'll go to San Francisco for his.
Yeah.
For his
60th, he's almost like my brother's age. I guess he's a year and a half shy of my brother's age. My older brother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what it's like over there in the 60 plus range, how that feels.
Yeah, well, we'll know soon enough, and I'm not in any
hurry. No hurry at all, dude. No hurry
at all.
Slow
Bill
down.
Bill Murray 71 today, if you can believe that.
Who is?
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is 71?
71.
Hold on. Who else is that age? Who is
71-year-olds are that age?
71 years old. Is his birthday today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Bill Murray's birthday is today. Let's find out who he shares that with. Bill Murray, Dr. Phil, Kenny Ortega, Stevie Wonder, Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen, the same age as Bill Murray. That's cool.
Yeah. Richard Branson. These can't all be the same day, though, right? They're all just 71 years old. That might be.
I think they're all 71 years old, yeah.
William H. Macy. It's my deal, Wade. My deal. He's in here. Robbie Coltrane. So you're Hagrid. I'm an old man now, Harry. Mm-hmm. Julie Waters. Jay Leno.
Yeah, you hear about this? You hear about this?
Let me find another big one here. David Foster. Let's see. These are all getting boring. Oh, Martin Short, 71. So that's cool.
Oh, there you go.
Sigourney Weaver. Jeff Bridges.
Wow.
Oh,
the 71 Club is full of talent.
Yeah. Ron Perlman, Don Johnson, a whole bunch of people.
Here's the thing. By the way, we gave a lot of names. So we can't really say, oh, no, if that person dies, it's our fault. We gave a lot of names.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah, if they all die, then talk to me. If they all die tomorrow.
Maybe that's the thing. Whenever we name somebody, we need to name like 10 other people. Dilute the pool.
I love that idea. Just name everybody else.
Yeah.
Look at the party you would have with these people. Brad Dourif, Steve Wozniak, Bill Gibbons or Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. Oh, wait, is that Billy Gibbons?
Yeah, that's Billy Gibbons is one of the guys from ZZ Top.
Bill Nighy is in here.
Wow, really? Yeah.
This is Peter Gabriel, dude. 71.
Oh, Peter Gabriel.
In your
dead. What a great class of
eyes. I was going to make some like joke about like Robitussin, or I don't know why. Is it, you know, some old man thing that I couldn't think of it.
So these are all people, I guess, born 1950. They would have to be, right?
Yeah, 1950.
Yes, or late 1949.
There you go.
And haven't had their 72nd birthday yet.
Oh yeah, good point. Princess Anne too, as well. She's in there. Yeah,
she loves it.
Hello. Oh, Ariana Huffington is in there.
Hello, darlings.
Hello, darlings. Welcome to my party.
She'd run the party. That'd be her deal.
She would run the party. Yeah, and it would be in the HuffPo, and there'd be a joke. You know, the opening of the article would be, what do you call it when 11 71-year-olds throw a birthday party?
Yeah, that sounds right. And Ann Wilson from the band. The band.
From the Heart.
The Heart. Yes. There you go.
What was in Heart?
What was in Heart? All right. Bringing it back around here.
Yes.
Let's see. Bernie Sanders. Or sorry, Christine Fletcher. We know her. Scott Fletcher's wife.
Oh, yes. She truly is Mrs. Scott Fletcher.
I love that Mrs. Scott Fletcher listens to the show and sends in feedback on the regular. It makes me very happy. She's probably
we miss them so much.
The Fletchers rule. They're some of my favorite people on the planet. Christine wrote in and she says, hello, friends. Thinking about Brian's driving experience in Ireland and wondering why someone hasn't created a video game that people could use to practice driving in a foreign country. Seems like a no-brainer to me, but what do I know? Miss you guys and your wives so much. I love the "and your wives" part, because that probably
let's face
more.
It, that really is who she misses. Yeah. Let's be honest.
I'm going to bold that part. Yeah.
No kidding. Why is and put this on the freaking on the Oculus. Give us a car, like an Oculus car driving simulator where you can choose any country's car driving style.
Well, Euro Truck Simulator has your number, because that
does
could
it?
Mean,
okay.
Even though you have to drive semis around and stuff, so it's not quite like a car, but it's on the other side of the road. You're on the other side of the car. It's like all the European stuff in that game. Also, the game Sleeping Dogs, which is like a GTA-like set in Hong Kong, it's not quite the same because it's not a simulation and you're kind of up and behind the car, but you're in the left side on the other side of the car driving, so that might work.
That's not bad.
And I think the Forza games may feature
that's
this.
What somebody just said in there, and Claire just said Forza. Yeah
the Forza games. Maybe the
there's something called It Can Wait driving simulation made by AT&T for the Oculus, but I can't tell.
Oh my lord,
what this is?
AT&T.
I guess it's a game where you can practice texting and driving. I don't know.
Oh man, that'd be bad. AT&T making a game, that's an odd idea.
Yeah, it is.
Well, anyway, there you have it. Christine, always good to hear from you. I hope you and Scott are doing well and the kids are doing good. Yeah. The kids seem to be doing great.
They always seem to be doing great. Yeah.
They have amazing girls. And there'll be some
one
three
of them,
very...
One of them blew a trumpet in your ear, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. She's a trumpist. No.
Trumpetist.
Don't be a trumpist.
Trumpetist.
Trumpetist. That's the preferable way of saying it.
She's a trumper.
That's not what I meant at all. All right. There's the all you can eat for the top of the show. Thanks for your email. Send more in themorningstream@gmail.com. Now, the news. It is time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
If you care about indie games coverage, like games like Drive on the Left Side, fool, then you'll want to tune into the live taping of the Boop Show today at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time, only time zone that matters, here at Frog Pants TV, frogpants.tv. Scott and Brian Dunaway have the goods, so come get the goods and see if the goods are good. Podcast and more info at frogpants.com/boop.
Yep, this week only, it's today. Usually it's Mondays, but Brian had a thing, so I became
another. He was waiting for a couch yesterday and couldn't record.
Probably still didn't arrive because that's his luck right now. All right, here's a fun one: a lawyer dressed as Michael Myers, not the actor comedian Mike Myers, but the serial killer from the Halloween movies, Mike Myers.
Sure.
Was arrested after roaming a Texas beach as a prank, according to the cops. this is a lawyer, actually, dressed as a horror movie character as on the Texas beach, says his eccentric actions were just a prank to make people smile. But it also led to the arrest of Mark Metzger, the Galveston attorney. People saw roaming a local beach in a Michael Myers costume. He was cited for disorderly conduct and released by Galveston police. Police received a call Monday about a masked man holding what appeared to be a bloody knife while walking on the beach. And
yeah, cosplay really belongs in cons. Like, if you're walking into a grocery store dressed as Pinhead from Hellraiser, yeah, you're probably doing it wrong. Save that stuff for the cons or for events where people are expecting cosplay, not the beach.
Or Halloween day, at least, you know? Like,
so right, yes, exactly.
But wandering around the beach in August or September is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Also, he even said on his Facebook post, it's still fuzzy on what was exactly illegal. Like, I would say there are countless examples of stupid YouTubers doing stuff like this or worse in public and not having any repercussion for it and instead enjoying millions of views and, you know, money.
Right.
So I feel a little bad that this guy got nailed while, you know, Jake Paul.
Jake Paul runs free.
Yeah. Well, he lives free. anyway, he says they took him off in handcuffs, which probably were pretty fun. The blood and the knife were fake, of course. Quote, bringing positive vibes to the gloom and doom out there, generating some laughter, helping people crack a smile. I mean, maybe dress up like, I don't know, Ronald McDonald or something. Why? I don't know why you think you're making people smile as Mike Myers from Halloween.
Mike Myers. That's the question, right? I mean, if you were to cosplay as Pee-wee Herman and walk down the beach, no big deal. If you were to cosplay as the Hamburglar and walk down the beach, no problem. But
people who
don't even recognize your Mike Myers see the bloody knife and the mask and think, "Holy crap!"
Yeah. Except Mayor McCheese. You know, if you see him, it's F the government and flip him off.
Right. He's totally a anti-vaxxer, that Mayor McCheese.
Nobody likes Mayor McCheese. Guy's an animal. All right, moving on.
Yeah, yes. What is the illegal activity? Is it intentional mayhem or something? I mean, it's, you know,
probably
not impersonating a serial killer.
Well, I mean, they said disorderly conduct. That's
they
the
did
statute.
Say it, okay.
That's the statute. Exactly was illegal, I mean, I don't know why he should be fuzzy. And he's a lawyer. He should probably know.
Well, that's why he's fuzzy. Yeah. That's a lawyer thing to say. I'm still not quite sure how this was illegal.
Yeah. By the way, I'd forgotten just how skeezy the lawyer in The Wire is that works for like Stringer Bell and all those guys. He is the skeeziest lawyer on TV ever. I hate him. I hate his guts. Lawyers, man. I think lawyers are all right, but boy, that guy sure makes you look bad.
Seen The Wire, and I know it's a gross oversight, but
it's fantastic.
I know. It's one of those things. It's like The West Wing. If you haven't seen the blah blah blah, well, I need to see the blah blah blah.
It's pretty great. It's so weird though seeing. So Idris Elba, this is really his breakout thing, right? It's the thing that really got him places.
Right.
He plays this character called Stringer Bell, and he is possibly the most frightening, quote unquote, villain. I mean, the show's different in that things aren't, there's no like, the guy twisting his mustache is the villain and the guy with the bright smiley teeth is the good guy. It doesn't really work that way in that world. It's very gritty and realistic and people are kind of nebulously immoral kind of across the board. But Stringer Bell scares me. That dude freaks me out for lots of reasons. I won't spoil it, but you should watch The Wire.
Okay.
It's very good. All right. What am I doing here? Oh, yeah. This is a second story. Not sex story. It's not a sex story.
It's the second sex story.
It's the second sex story of the day, everybody. You asked for more sex stories, we delivered. three were shot as family fight broke out over gifts at a Pennsylvania baby shower. And it erupted in gunfire. Yeah, that's what happened.
Those baby Bjorns are super popular. I mean, they're hard to get, too. So
yeah, you got... How else are you going to get one? You got to pack heat and then fight with your neighbors, your friends.
Exactly. Yes.
Three people were shot Saturday during a baby shower in Pennsylvania after a fight about gifts. Police in Lower Burnell, a small city 30 minutes west of Pittsburgh, northeast of Pittsburgh, rather, responded to a call reporting an active shooter by the fire department just after 6 p.m. Authorities discovered it was not an active shooter situation, but rather an isolated family incident during a baby shower. Suspect was taken into custody after a 23-year-old man, a 19-year-old woman, and a 16-year-old boy were all shot. All three were taken to the hospital with gunshot wounds. Their conditions remain unknown. Doesn't appear anybody died, though. So that's
good. I feel bad for the 16-year-old having to go to a baby shower.
I know, right? It's not even about the shooting at this point. It's
like, that's what I feel bad for. No 16-year-old wants to be in a baby shower.
Lower Burrell, not Burnell. Sorry, Chad.
Lower Burrell, sure.
There are people in Pittsburgh holding me into the fire here on the details.
There you go, yes.
Police said they believe the family argument that broke out over the presents turned physical before the shooter took out a semi-automatic handgun and began firing. I can't even imagine this. What did this look like?
No kidding. A semi-automatic. Criminy.
I know. Pop, pop, pop.
Do we even know what the actual argument was over the gifts? We just know that they were fighting over gifts.
No, that's it. And I don't know why you would, because the baby shower is about bringing gifts for the parents and baby that's coming.
Yeah.
So automatically the assumption is that every gift in that place is for that, and right. That's it. So what would you fight over?
Right.
Would you fight because your gift that you brought is better than mine and you've shown me up? That's the only thing I can think of.
You got him a diaper genie. I got him a diaper genie.
You got him an even flow, whatever the hell those are called, and I did too, and mine's better. I got it
breast
at Walmart.
Breast pump. TVZ Gum makes the point that the 16-year-old might have been there because it might have been her baby.
Oh!
His or her baby.
No judgment, but possible. It's entirely possible.
Yes. Yeah, there's no details about the, I'm looking at the article here, and that's really all we know is that's what the...
Yeah. It says, well, they even say the name of the suspect has not been released. Mm-hmm. That tells me it's possible. Let's see, does it say who
that
shot?
That they're still, yeah.
Yeah, they could be too young to say their name.
I don't know.
Well, maybe don't do that, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get up in people's business or anything, but I'm thinking that maybe don't shoot each other at a baby shower is what I'm thinking.
Maybe don't even bring the gun.
Yeah. Maybe
leave the gun at home when you come to the baby shower. I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe quit caring about gift stuff. Who cares? Yeah. It's all dumb in the end. All right. Here's a story I like. I don't know why I like this guy. I feel like there's a stage in my life. I'm not there yet. I don't know when I'll ever be there. But there's a stage in my life where I could be this guy. So I relate to this guy for some reason.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but I'm going to read it anyway. Okay, so a man kept calling 911 to report that he was tired. Oh.
Aren't we all, dude?
Yeah. An Indiana man kept calling 911. And they were like, Mr. Pence, please stop calling us, please. To inform police operators that he was not tired, we'll spend the next 2 months resting up in a county jail. Oh, is that what happens if you do that?
I guess they hook you up with some rest. Well, I mean, if you make calls to the emergency line that aren't emergencies and you keep doing it, probably got a few warnings and then said, all right, you're tired. You're coming with us.
Yeah. Come be tired here. Daniel, I don't know why I said David, age 61, was arrested Tuesday night at his Evansville home in connection with a quartet of calls. So four of them.
Uh-huh.
Placed that evening.
I've been to Evansville.
Oh, have you? What's the paper there?
I don't remember a thing about it, but I do remember doing the install there. Trying to remember if I had to fly into South Bend or if I flew directly into Evansville. I might have flown directly into Evansville.
Never been to Indiana before. Almost did a couple years ago for Gen Con, but didn't quite happen.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
they just had that, in fact. It just ended. I hope it wasn't a super spreader event. We'll find out later.
Hope not. Yes, exactly.
Let's see. Schroeder, the male caller kept calling and stating he was tired, says the police report. Schroeder calls were about his weariness came a day after he pleaded guilty to a prior misuse of the 911 system. So he's done this before.
So he's a serial caller.
Yeah. he copped to calling police to report he had been upset that a female relative was, quote, not following his rules, unquote.
This guy doesn't understand what 911's for. He needs a he needs a class or something.
Sounds I like mean, 911 is a joke. I heard a band singing about that in the late 80s.
Yeah, yeah. 911's a joke.
Uh-huh.
911, it's also a car. It's a Porsche 911. It's also a horrible day in American history. I've been well, I can't tell you because I have recommendals on Wednesday. I can't tell you what I watched. I watched something.
Let's say it was 9/11. Something related to either Porsches or 9/11.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
Let's just say I did my own inside job. And watched I watched some documentaries. And two of them.
So I think I know the one you watched probably because I've been seeing it promoted recently.
Yeah. There's a couple of very, very good 9/11 documentaries. Which ones did I see? There you know what? I'll say there are four. I watched two.
Wow.
And which two? You'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out.
I will wait until tomorrow.
Will you wait until then?
I will wait.
And find out which of the both that I chose.
To find out what you thought of both of them?
Both of them? Anyway, to the dude earlier, yes, that is a localism, the both and the waint. That's definitely that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on here to see what else happened. The judge ordered him to serve 6 months in jail, but suspended imposition of the sentence on one condition, that he never calls 911 again unless it's an emergency. He violated.
Okay. I'm sure he'll never do it.
Yeah. He violated that agreement almost immediately the following day, which prompted prosecutors to file the motion seeking the revocation of suspended sentence, and now he's actually going to go to jail as a result. It's a misdemeanor charge, but it's still 60 days. Let's see. They're running concurrently, whatever. I missed all that. Anyway, Schroeder's rap sheet includes convictions for driving while intoxicated, as well as convictions for narcotics possession and leaving the scene of an accident. So not his first time to that rodeo. Poor guy.
Yeah, I think there's something further wrong going on there.
Poor Schroeder. He just,
that's right.
He's trying to get Lucy to like him, and he just can't get it done. No, Lucy likes Schroeder. No,
yeah, exactly. He's get off my piano, Lucy. I'm tired.
Yeah, he just
tired of it.
He just wanted to make music, and she was annoying.
Yeah, I'm looking at the police report to see if there's anything.
Lucy, sometimes get the hell off my piano means get the hell off my piano and get out of here, Lucy. Lucy, I'm the piano with diamonds. Get out of here.
Nope. He just kept calling in, stating he was tired. Dispatch informed officers that he called 911 four times this evening. Officers placed the offender into custody for misuse of the 911 system. No, nothing fun, exciting in there.
Aww. Did Dunn Games in the chat says maybe this guy needs some help and not jail. Maybe he needs both. Like he probably does.
Yeah,
does need some help, some counseling.
This would be something that Tian in her current job probably would get involved with, just to see if he's well, no, because it's not a it's not an abuse exploitation situation, so nope, it would just be a guy who needs help.
Yeah, just needs a little help and a little jail time, but some help.
Get some rest in jail.
Yeah, have a little jail time. I mean, you have the law, so you have to like do the law, but you can also help. You can help, and we're kind of bad at that. We're pretty good at getting people. You know, we're pretty good at the law part. We're not great at the,
not so good at the getting them help part.
Yeah. We're not so good at, like, the after the thing, which is, well, it has to do with that documentary again, which I'll talk about tomorrow. Finally, final story.
Yes.
A man has returned bottles. Like you do, you know, you turn them in and you get, like, 5 cents a bottle or whatever it is.
Yeah. Your deposit.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's a long
deposit, no return.
There you go. It's a great way to recycle glass, and it's been around forever, and that's what people do. Well, a man returned bottles from 1913.
1913?
For a deposit and 108 years of interest in Pennsylvania. That's where the American vampires live. That's their headquarters.
That's right, exactly.
Yep, that's where they're all
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Okay. A penny-pinching man in Pennsylvania tried his luck at returning century-old crate of empty beer bottles for the deposit, and it worked. With 108 years of interest, the customer was not identified, but Irving Cliff Brewery of Honesdale reports on Facebook posts that it made good on the deposit guarantee. This was about 30 miles northeast of Scranton is where this happened.
Okay.
A local antique collector was cleaning out an old storage bin when he discovered these ICB wooden beer crate bottles from 1913. In there were 7 Blue Flint cork and cage bottles. Blue Flint is like a, is that a brand? That's cool.
It must be, yeah. Blue Flint, because that's capitalized. Blue Flint Cork and Cage bottles.
I really like the name.
Yeah, you Blue got Flint. A bottle of that Blue Flint over there I can have.
There's a photo on that. Look at that. Oh, Cork and Cage is where they've got the stopper that's on the metal holder on the bottle where you flip it up and instead of... Yeah.
Gotcha. Let's see what he got. Oh, okay. So they calculated it. 5 cent return on each bottle plus interest came to $60. $60. Nice. That's a pretty, not bad for just a crate full of shit that you're not going to do anything with. So good job. Good job. Why are people crying for Carter? What's going on? What happened in the chat?
Imagine living here. This is America. We believe the freedom to arrest all. Oh, yeah.
Listen, my daughter's and you know, she's a recent college graduate. She's super stoked about just getting a sticking it to the man right now. She likes to stick it to the man. Carter, you keep on sticking it to that man. Tell that man you're there to stick it to him. all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back to the program, we'll spend a little time with Justin Robert Young, Jury for short. We got stuff to talk about with him. And there'll be more after that, but you'll have to listen to the song and then come back to do it. So, Brian, why don't you introduce the song as you always do?
Will do. This is a duo called Pale Moon. They're an Icelandic-Russian psychedelic duo, Amy and Nada, or Ami and Nada. They've been working on an album, but they've been slowly releasing tracks ahead of that album. Their previous release, Parachutes, got them a lot of recognition. We played them here on the show before, and that one actually charted on Icelandic radio. This is a fun, upbeat song called Strange Days. They just released it a couple weeks ago and shot a video by Dmitry Litvinov. Here's the fun thing. It's a fun, upbeat, happy sounding song, but then you listen to the lyrics. It's like, oh, well, this is a little bit darker than I thought. So it's kind of a cool little juxtaposition of those two things. I love it. I'm sure you will too. Go see them in Spain as part of the 33rd Mercat de Music Viva de Vic. So our Spain listeners, there you go. Go see them.
Wow.
all of you Spain listeners, go out and see them. Here they are. Strange Days by the band Pale Moon.
Thank you. fine, but we all gonna die. Lying face down an avenue, full of prostitutes, checking our pools. No, that's too far. I like a good laugh. We all gonna die. We all gonna die. Strange day, strange day. I'm feeling like a stranger today. I woke up on the wrong side of bed. I don't know who to blame. Strange day, strange day. I'm feeling like a stranger today. I woke up on the wrong side of bed. I don't know who to blame. We all gonna die. We all gonna die.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? You know, it's fall. It's fall. Do you feel it? We could all use a stiff breeze. This episode's brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, listen, confidence can take you pretty far in life. It can help you in the bedroom as well, especially when it comes to stepping up to the plate. Well, that's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. And you can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. This process is pretty simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No doctor visits. No sitting around in that office waiting for anybody. No awkward conversations. And no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made right here in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door as well in a very discreet package. So, first impressions are important. What about lasting impressions? That's right. Blue Chew can help you in, the ways you need it to help you. So, if you could benefit from that, a little bit of extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code TMS, to receive your first month free. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information as well. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode.
Howdy, Big Tex. I'm ready to ruin Buddy's reputation, just like we discussed.
Oh, shit. That didn't work right. Hold on. Let me play that again. And he doesn't say tits, by the way, everybody, so calm down.
Sounded like what he said.
That's not what he said. All right, here we go. It's ticks. Here we go.
Howdy, Big Tex. I'm ready to ruin Buddy's reputation, just like we discussed in our text messages.
Hideous intelligence.
They are all that is man. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, well, the chat room thinks they heard whatever they heard. So
was that the body cam audio from Mel Gibson's Arrest several years ago?
I don't remember what this is. Hold on.
Howdy, Big Tex. I'm ready.
It's Tex, but Bad Buddy. I don't remember what this would have been from. I wrote Bad Buddy.
Bad Buddy.
What do you think that is?
Howdy, Big Tex.
I don't remember.
I don't know, but if this was a film sack movie, I probably would have said, I'm sorry, I'm out this week, guys. Go on.
It might have been, actually. This is an old file. I don't know, but who knows? I don't know what I did there. All right, welcome back to the
big
show.
Big Tex. Big Tex? Carter J says, oh, it's Big Tex.
Is it Big Tex? Is it from a cartoon or something? Because it seems like a cartoon.
Howdy, Big Tex.
Howdy, Big Tex.
Howdy, Big Tex, it might be.
Yeah.
Okay, well, everyone's mind went to a different place, and that's fine. What are you going to do?
It's a good place to go. Hey, that song you just heard was Pale Moon it was Strange Days by the band Pale Moon.
Nice.
From Iceland and Russia. What a great combo.
It's a great combo, Iceland and Russia.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Well, look who we have here, everybody. It's Justin Robert Young, broadcasting live all the way from his studios in Austin, Texas, the great state of Texas, the Lone Star
state. Ted Cruz's Texas. Anyway, hey, Justin, welcome back to the jury duty. Well, it's good to have you here. How are you?
I'm great. I'm sure I'll find some part of Utah that I can tie to your residency.
Mitt Romney's own Utah.
Mitt Romney's Utah. Yes.
Yeah, why not? Yes,
yeah, but you like Mitt Romney. I'd have to find somebody that you don't.
Oh yeah, I kind of do like Mitt Romney. You'd have to. Well, like we don't like Mike Lee around here very much. He's kind of a
penis. Oh, I forgot Mike Lee was your other one. Yeah,
yeah, he's kind of a dink. Yeah, nobody likes Mike Lee here. It's like this. Well, think of the Sara Lee. Everybody likes Sara Lee. Nobody likes Mike Lee.
Is it a Mike Lee joint?
It's a Mike Lee joint, yeah. Which sucks. It's really unfortunate. Anyway, hey, you're back. We're good to have you here. It's a Tuesday, which means jury duty time and time for us to spend a little time with Justin. Now, here's the thing. Today, there's not a ton going on politically that's at least interesting for the show. However, I want to hear about your...
Very speculative, boring congressional stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I want, but I also want to hear your. You have a not a conspiracy theory. It's not the right word. You have a.
It was an observation.
Okay,
I made an observation.
All right, let's hear that first, and then I want to talk about why The Last Man.
So, on the politics Patreon, if you sign up at the $3 level, you get two extra bonus podcasts. One of those is the Sunday show where I. Peruse all the clips that have come out from the official social media teams of the Sunday broadcasts. That's Face the Nation, Meet the Press, State of the Union, Fox News Sunday, blah, 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 blah. And I just kind of digest the narratives that are coming out of it because it's very, very interesting from my perspective to see what is being talked about on multiple shows, the questions that are being asked, the guests that are being had on. There was actually a great moment 2 weeks ago where Bernie Sanders and Joe Manchin just kind of chased each other across all the different shows, hitting each other with mallets like Itchy and Scratchy. It was great. But on this last episode, this last Sunday, there was a very weird question because I had heard nothing about it. And I've talked to people that are in this industry that had heard nothing about it that was asked not only to Dr. Fauci, who is now also a part of Biden's like official vaccine
cabinet
or COVID response team.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which is a position he's held in previous presidencies, including Trump's, right? Same kind of position, or is it different?
No. He's in now he's like recommending actual policy within the administration.
Oh,
before
interesting.
The head of the NIH.
Okay, gotcha.
Now he's like recommending policy. Asked to him and the CEO of United Airlines, which is domestic vaccine air travel mandates, which I hadn't heard anything about. And in my mind, where I immediately go is not that this is like a secret thing or anything, but more likely that there's a rumor going around or somebody's got a story, but you don't have enough to kind of like print it. But if you've got these people here, you can just ask them about the random thing and see whether or not they say something. Neither denied it. And neither said that they were absolutely against it. Fauci indeed said that everything was on the table. So I just noticed that. And so when you were asking me for topics, I was like, there's this thing I noticed on Sunday.
So if tomorrow or sometime soon the FAA comes out, I would assume that would be the branch they would do this through and say, everybody freaking top down mandate, no more, you know, vaccines mandated on these for air travel from everything from employees all the way down to every last passenger. That is, you know, able to get it or is approved to get it because some kids can't and all that. Wouldn't surprise you. Right?
This would be for passengers. Remember, Biden has mandated anybody, any business that is over 100 employees is federally mandated to tell their employees to get vaccinated. So that would presumably cover all but maybe the tiniest of puddle jumper airlines.
Oh, good point. Mm. Yeah, that's already been done. You're right. So this would be for us. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. So have any of the airlines done this independently or that we know of? I don't think they have, right? None of that.
No.
Okay.
Indeed, I think that would certainly, if that were to happen, it would likely come in tandem with a gigantic pile of money from the federal government because You know, air travel has not quite been what it was.
Still hasn't recovered. Yeah.
You know, over the last year, really. And now only with the international travel being lifted, are some of these airlines going to be able to really start to maybe even sniff a glimpse of what they kind of used to do.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, this would be something that would be fairly controversial. Not even just the fact that imagine you get to the airport and indeed you have your identification and you have your ticket, but you don't have your vaccine card.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. geez. Mm-hmm. Honey, did you bring
or you don't
thing?
Have the right vaccine? That was something we saw in DIA was that some people had the Johnson & Johnson. Apparently that wasn't enough for British Airways. Like you have to have Moderna or Pfizer. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But there was a...
Justin, you can't go to London now and hang out with Will.
That's right.
Not so fast, Mon.
Yeah.
I've double dipped.
Oh, did you do the double? If you've double dipped, I didn't know that. That's cool. How'd that go for you? Do you have a third eye or what's going on?
Yeah, no, all of my chakras have opened. No, it was a remarkably like a trip to the CVS.
Wow. Weird. Very eventful then. Full of twists and turns. Well, all right. So you'd be fine then. But okay. So if nobody's done it independently, see, I need to consider this: the idea that the federal government would come to bear and say, "All right, it's mandated for passengers," and then part of that would be a deal they would strike with the airlines, basically stimulus money. As part of that,
I would imagine. I mean, I suspect that the airlines are going to continue to want stimulus money no matter what,
yeah.
Because these are companies that one of my favorite community members for politics is a pilot, and he says that October's when airlines die.
Mm.
It's basically when you figure out, okay, we did not make enough over the summer when people travel a lot. So we're not going to be able to really supercharge what we need to do for the winter, and we're probably going to die.
Yeah.
So it's like if you are an airline that is kind of on the ropes, and some of them are in terms of their balance sheets, who knows exactly when and where that would happen. Like there are many airlines, even healthy ones, that would very, very, very much like more money from the federal government.
Right. Right.
And especially since, it's the federal government that's putting, they were putting restrictions on passengers, and this would certainly be a fairly large restriction.
Yeah, it also feels like this isn't that crazy of a. First of all, you're hearing it from these two different people in two different news shows.
All right, so again, let me quantify this. This is not me reporting anything. This is not even me speculating that it will happen.
Yeah,
this is a thing I noticed.
Yeah,
when Chuck Todd asked a question to Dr. Anthony Fauci, and I forget the name of the anchor on Face the Nation, asked the same question to the CEO of United, whose name I also forget.
Right. And, yes. And they're all in cahoots, is what Justin, just kidding.
I'm not saying they're in cahoots. I'll tell you what.
Well, all right then. Fair enough. This transitions nicely because in the fabulous, wonderful, one of my favorite comic runs of all time, Why the Last Man, all the men die all of a sudden. This is not a spoiler. That's the basis of the entire thing. And
the first 99% of the pilot.
Yeah, all the pilots. 99% of all of pilots are men, and they all drop out of the sky suddenly.
The pilot of the television show we're about.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. The first three are out, right? That's all. They're all out there. First one deals with the actual event. See, I've not watched yet.
The fourth one might have even come out by now.
Oh, has it? Okay. I've not had a chance to watch it. I plan to because I'm, like I say, a huge fan of the comic. We talked a little with Steven about it yesterday in terms of its reception so far and that sort of thing. But I hear word through the grapevine that you really... really liked it. I know you like the comic, you like the source, but where are you at with the show? And do you think is it gonna rock or what? What do you think?
Wait, what'd you hear?
I heard you liked it a lot. That's what Steven said. He says he heard you really liked it. Is this not true?
Was he making a face?
Oh.
We could see it. Like you, he didn't join us via video.
Wait, I'm not on video?
Oh, yeah, why you're not on video.
Lights were.
Just figured you were naked.
No, Jesus.
Well, no,
Christ.
You know, we don't want to assume. Maybe you got your wiener out. Yeah. Wieners.
Why don't you guys call me on video?
Look how green you are. Out. Well, because we're on audio. Because
we already have a show. Yeah, we already have the show going.
We're already on. We do the. We got this. This weird hybrid video thing going. And
I'm definitely sitting under hot lights so I can see.
By the way, I'm gonna really quickly say something that's gonna avoid a bunch of emails. I'm looking to see. I think it was just a couple people bitching that they had the Johnson & Johnson and that they weren't getting to fly. But I'm guessing they had the Johnson & Johnson did not bring their vax cards to the airport, and that's why they got turned away.
Oh, okay. It wasn't about the fact that they had that vax. It's that they weren't.
It's that they didn't bring their card.
Okay.
Yeah.
To all right. Prove that makes more sense to me.
All right. Just preventing some emails from people. No, Johnson & Johnson, totally okay to fly international. Brian's a liar.
Hopefully, they've had a lot of time since you said it originally.
Yeah,
so
they've
we'll
already
see.
Composed and sent the email.
Yeah it's already done. It's already done. It's broken containment.
Right.
Exactly. I like the green today. It's very nice. All right. So, Justin, back to the thing. So, you didn't like it. I don't know where you did you or not. I guess I'm asking. What'd you think of it?
Well, look, I, like you, love the comic.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not going to be right in the comics, guy.
No one wants to be that guy. Yeah.
Let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
What did you love the most about the comic? What were the things that you enjoyed? Not plot points, per se, but just themes and things that would happen, situations that characters would be put in broadly. What did you enjoy about the comic?
Okay, so that's a great way to ask it, because it is actually the thing I like about the comic the most. It's that comic is never about the minute-to-minute stuff. It's about the broader themes and the broader context of things. And for me, it's, first off, the premise itself. I love this concept of the what that would do, like this what-if kind of question of if all of that part of humanity just suddenly died.
Well, and for those who are unaware, all men die instantly.
Yeah. Just
like it's not over a series of months. It is brain hemorrhage.
It's like a Thanos snap.
Yeah.
And it was all males.
Or worse. Yeah. Worse. So yeah. Because they all hemorrhage.
Something like that, except with more corpses.
Yeah.
And there is our main character, Yorick, the Y in Why the Last Man, is seemingly the last male on Earth, and it is his journey to find friends, family, meaning, and his girlfriend.
Exactly. He's got a little monkey with him too, which is good.
Oh, he's got a little monkey.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about the monkey.
Yeah, a little monkey, male monkey too, right? That's the other weird thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Ampersand is also a male,
right?
Which is even more puzzling.
It is puzzling because if I remember right, remind me, did all the rest of the animal kingdom also lost their male counterparts, right? Did I?
Yes. Everything with the Y chromosome.
That's right. Y chromosome out. That was the deal.
Yep. Which is the Y. Also the Y in Why the Last Man.
Right. Exactly. Oh yeah. That's right. There's like three meanings to that Y in the Why the Last Man, and I love it. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Yeah. Brian K. Vaughan's a genius. Anyway, the point is, so this happens all of a sudden. So that one thing is very really intriguing to me. Just this concept of the president, most of his cabinet, 95% of the pilots in the air. Most of the military, most of the leadership, at least in this country and countries like us, we're so male-dominated, all of a sudden just hemorrhage out of their face and drop dead. And that alone is really intriguing to me. Just like that, how do you handle that moment? It's very apocalyptic. I'm always like that kind of stuff. And so that right there is big. The other one to me that I always loved about the comic was how, and others have heard me say this before, so sorry for repeating myself, but how overnight the U.S., Russia, and others went from the world's largest military superpowers to being almost worthless, and Israel went to the top of the food chain almost immediately as a military superpower.
Immediately imposing their will because of mandatory service for women.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was, and that, just that conceptually, is this a really fun thought experiment in terms of just, you know, fiction. So those are the big overarching stuff that I liked them. I liked everything in it that was humorous. I did like the relationships and the people and the stuff and all of that. But what really gets me about that story is its core concepts, its foundations. And so I feel like if the show at least tries to retain those core foundations, that I'll be having a good time.
You're right.
Yeah.
If the show did, you would.
So what? So So am I going to hate it?
I like the way you're saying that.
Because you really like, what was the thing that you hated and I loved?
They did, and not much else or something like that. Like there was some, there was the other shoe that has to drop.
There was something that Justin really liked or really hated some sort of recently.
Them doing the Watchmen story. It was them taking the Watchmen mythology, Watchmen. And I just kind of disagreed with what they thought was important or cool in the Watchmen mythology.
That's what it was, Watchmen. Yeah, we had a real division on that. So it's kind of the same problem here. You feel like they've just taken the source?
No, because Watchmen, again, was telling a story with characters or with mythos and with a universe that was beyond. They weren't doing the Watchmen comic. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
And so I just fundamentally disagreed when you're looking at like what's important in Watchmen. What does Watchmen mean when you're trying to set the rules for the universe? I didn't agree with what they thought the rules and lessons of that universe were. And so when they told their story, no matter how well or poorly told or acted you thought it was, that was just a fundamental thing from me as a neck-bearded comic dork. That being said,
yeah.
Why the Last Man is a straight-out retelling. And I don't need a comic adaptation on television to be a straight out retelling. Mm. I loved Preacher. Mm. Preacher was great. Mm-hmm. I loved Preacher from the first moment. That was another. I read pretty much Why the Last Man and Preacher almost, if not simultaneously, it was back to back.
Yeah.
I from the first moment, the first frame of Preacher, where they have this like 1950s creature feature, like fake space diorama thing that is set to, that is the voice of God barreling its way toward Earth. I was like, all right, these guys get what makes Preacher awesome immediately. Mm. That it is very serious, mm-hmm. but very silly, but very violent, but very loving. Like all the characters really do care about each other, and that's ultimately where the story is hung. My problem with Why the Last Man is that Why the Last Man to me as a comic is everything that you just said. Mm-hmm. It is the world that exists after this event.
Mm-hmm.
And through three episodes, boy, are we really slow playing our way to get to that 6 month later title card where the world has totally gone upside down.
Yeah.
And now it is up to our main character and his guardian to kind of make their way through this world. And now they will, they are our guide through this new bizarre world. You can very much tell that this version was adapted as a kind of Handmaid's Tale meets Walking Dead kind of premise,
mm-hmm.
which I think while both those shows have very high highs, I think even fans of both those properties can understand that writing wise, they can have very low lows. Mm-hmm. And
no argument there. Yeah.
And I don't think that we are getting the absolute best version. Instead, we're getting kind of all of the heavy handed preachiness of Handmaid's Tale, which has its own amazing apocalyptic universe that they seem steadfast not to explore.
Yeah.
And, Walking Dead's habit of like, well, how are we going to make somebody walk alone into the old convenience store this week?
Oh, man. That's funny that you said that the way you said it, because my brain reacted in a funny way right then. I suddenly flashed in front
visualized
of my eyes
exactly that scene and how many times we saw
it. Yeah. I feel like I just got the frame of every time I've seen it all at once, and it's all the same. That's a funny thing that you just did to me psychologically. Weird. Because they all do it.
Popular show that knows why it's massively popular, which is that zombies attack every week, multiple times an episode. And so at a certain point, it's like, oh, no, somebody's pregnant and they need supplies, and somebody's starving and they need supplies, or somebody's sad and they need a chocolate bar. Like, I guess we're gonna have to walk into the convenience store alone. Like,
I mean, as much as I'm unapologetically way into Handmaid's Tale, I really like it, but I'll be the first to admit that I would like them to explore that apocalyptic world more, because that's what drives me in it. And again, the books and the TV show have diverged quite a bit, The book, I should say.
And they did a good job of telling that story in the first season.
Yeah, they kind of got it out of their system in the first season. You're right. And then everything else has sort of been whatever they want to do. And it's got its problems, but it is the worlds I'm most interested in. And so I hope Why the Last Man can at least give me enough of that to keep going. I mean, I haven't watched it yet, so I got to reserve judgment, but yeah.
Gerbs, did you watch and forgive me if you've already answered this. Did you watch The Leftovers?
No, I didn't.
Love The Leftovers.
I will eventually get to it. I was still a little cheesed at old Lindy after Lost. So
That show.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's redemption for what a lot of people had, the problem they had with Lost, because they did stick the landing on The Leftovers. And there's a
payoff. Like after the first season, I did not hear great things. I heard it got better as it went along.
I think it was great from the get-go, but it's been a while, and my memory is always looking back is always rosy, but
yeah. And you're not going to, not everyone's going to be served by everything. Like even in the chat, someone just said, I disagree. I hated the ending. Well, okay. Welcome to everyone feels different. But my point is like, I think Jury specifically will like it. Mm-hmm. Like I think the things I think you find lacking in some of these other examples, I think they kind of nailed there. And you might see the problem is you're on a Lindelof sandwich where you really didn't like how he handled the end of Lost or Lost, how it petered out. And you really don't like what he did with Watchmen. And in between that sandwich is the meat, which is Leftovers. So why would you be?
I thought it was Prometheus, which I also hated.
The leftover meat sandwich is what he's describing.
Yeah,
he's
Prometheus is also kind of a bad example.
I can't see that. So the thing he did before, and I love Lost. Let me also just say, I am more of an apologist for the ending of Lost in that I loved everything so much that I am willing to just kind of write off the fact that they got in over their head, and
set up too many mysteries and said, Jesus will handle it.
They just kind of yelled bankruptcy like they got in the office, and that was sort of the ending.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I don't know, Leftovers, we'll get to it. But man, did you watch Preacher? Preacher was so good.
Oh, loved Preacher.
Yeah. Preacher was awesome. Yeah. I wish Preacher would have kept going. Right.
And Preacher's another one where it's like, that's an on the road story, which they didn't want to tell an on the road story. Like every season was effectively them going to another town and experiencing a lot of these kind of things. But every character that mattered, they really brought to life. I think if there's one other thing that I would criticize about Why the Last Man is that some of the casting.
Really?
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
What about the president or acting president, only surviving cabinet lady member?
A lot of the DC people are good. Talking more about, the character that we're going to spend the most time with.
Oh,
really? Okay.
I know what he means.
York. Interesting.
Okay. He's just not, I mean, like, that's a hard role, right? And I don't even really even blame the guy. Like, that's a... It's a very nuanced role because he kind of has to be a dipshit. He kind of has to be your even-handed guide. So he's kind of acting like in a way that you could at least understand you or somebody you love would act as they go through this world. And then there's this very long, simmering kind of romantic storyline that sort of runs through that is like very, very nuanced. And it's easier to tell in a comic when you can draw exactly the look in somebody's eyes that you want. It's much harder in moving image when you've got to kind of act through it. Also, they used a CGI monkey.
Really? Oh, man.
And is it? And it's noticeably CGI, like it's distractingly CGI?
I noticed it was a CGI monkey.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So I'm looking at this guy who's playing York. It's a guy named Ben Schnetzer. And I'm looking through his filmography. The only thing I've seen him in is the Warcraft film where he played Khadgar.
Oh, that's Khadgar. It. Yeah. Wait, Khadgar? Oh, yeah. Oh, this guy. Okay, that's where I've seen this dude's face. That's the only place I've seen his face.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's the only place I've seen it. I haven't seen Snowden, which is probably the only other more mainstream film or popular film in this list. I don't even recognize most of these most of these film titles.
Like, and that's something where it's like, I can understand where you have to make changes for a film adaptation or movie adaptation compared to a comic, where it's like, Yorick is kind of a buster in the comics, and you know, he's kind of swept through, like caught in a riptide of this bizarre universe. But in a television show where you got to spend that much time with somebody, you kind of got to like them. You kind of got to be charmed by them. And it doesn't quite seem to be that. I was also very annoyed by the fact that their pilot didn't have the inciting incident of the entire universe within the first half hour.
Oh, they didn't?
They just had everybody act really annoying. And it's like, yes, I understand that's the first comic. The first comic's 15 pages.
Yeah.
This was 50 minutes.
Yeah, that's a that's interesting. So the
I'm
moment
remember when they had that reveal in the comics, was it immediate or was it something they discovered over time?
I mean, there was some exposition in the beginning of just people doing it, going around their jobs, doing their stuff.
Remember. I couldn't remember whether a lot of that story was told in flashbacks. I know that his interactions with his girlfriend definitely happen before everything goes down.
Right.
But you know, beyond that, I don't know. It's kind of a bummer just because I do think that a television adaptation is the only really good way that you could tell a Why the Last Man story. Now, I don't know if I can reveal this. I read a script for a in-development movie version.
Is this back when the person we know was working on it? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know
and,
about that.
It sucked.
Was it bad? Well, there's a reason that got shelved, right? Like, it wasn't...
And I don't blame anybody who wrote it. Like it's hard. It's really, really hard. I mean, like the point of Why the Last Man is this long meditation of life and gender and expectation, and it's political mystery. It has like a little bit of like National Treasure to it. It's got a little bit of a survival story into it. It's got a lot of apocalypse story into it. It's just a very rich sort of a brew that, much like a good whiskey, like if you add a little water, it just kind of opens up the taste of it. And I feel like if you just do it all in 1 2-hour shot, you're just like, oh geez, and then that guy and these people and Jesus. Oh, yeah. Okay, I guess we've solved it. Like
it's like Dark Tower. You can't do that one movie. And this was that was always going to be a bad idea. I don't care how good you think it was going to be or who was involved. That Dark Tower movie was not going to be good. It needs to be a series if you're going to do it at all. But it's hard. These things are hard, man. And Brian K. Vaughan writes hard stories to replicate on film. And I don't know how you think this is hard. Like if they ever tried to do Saga, I would be blown away if they ever pulled that off. Like that seems insane to me.
Like and that's, you know, it's funny that when I asked you about your favorite things, they were almost exactly what I really loved about it, which is odd because like I could tell you off the top of my head a billion different mile markers in some of the other comic series that I really loved. And like with Why, like I don't even really know offhand like how they resolved the central problem. I remember characters involved in it vaguely, but I have no idea how or why it happened. And I remember emotional beats in the story. I remember general kind of like the cool things and factions that kind of were around it. But I just remember enjoying that exploration. I enjoyed the slow walk through that world. It was like a Zelda game or something like that, where just being around and talking to people is really the rich experience. It's not necessarily the fact that you got all the Triforces and beat Ganon again.
Yeah, it's a harder translation. It's easy to take. I mean, I would argue it's easy to take something like The Walking Dead and move that to screen.
Because The Walking Dead is amazing because by Kirkman's own admission, the story he wanted to write was the zombie story that never ends.
Right. And he did.
Never ended.
Yeah.
He's like, like oh, what I want to know is what happens in the zombie movie after the credits roll.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. So the evolution is you don't have an ending? All right.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, which has its own, obviously its own problems. But there's a real nuance to Why the Last Man, and I don't even know why you'd try this project. It seems really hard. But I respect that they're trying.
I'm curious your thoughts. I was bummed by it, but I'm sure other people are going to really enjoy it. And I will say that if you have watched the latter seasons of Handmaid's Tale,
yeah,
and not wanted to backflip off a parking structure, then you will probably enjoy it.
Oh, well, then I might enjoy it because I like all of Handmaid's Tale. Even though I agree with some of your criticisms of it, I still am like all in. I'm like, I kind of want to keep watching it.
The writing in that last season, oh boy.
It wasn't its best, for sure. Great. Some real good performance stuff, though, from a bunch of the actors and some stuff. But yeah, it's not their best writing.
I don't disagree. but I do believe that by the end of the season, the plot was stuttering and shaking from how far it was stretched so they could make all these characters talk to each other one last time.
Yeah, it was, it felt like I don't like to blame things on pandemics, but I felt that one felt like it was constrained by things that shouldn't have constrained it.
No, that was plot problems. Yeah. They put all the characters too far away. They didn't have consistent motivations. They didn't have realistic reactions to the moments that happened. And so they just kind of kept going for like, well, what's the craziest thing that could happen? Like, oh, well, she now is the king of Hawaii. Oops. Now she's been captured again. And now she's in a basement and she's got a great knee. Like, oh, oops, she turned into a missile and now she's in space.
Well, I really kind of want to see this version that you've described. That would be an amazing turn.
Yeah, I'm here to announce that I've signed on for the next season of Handmaid's Tale. Excellent. I'm now the showrunner.
Excellent. We'll finally get the show that we've been wanting. Well, all right. If you're curious out there, it's FX and Hulu. So you can see, I think it's a 4 episodes now. 3 were dropped at once on Hulu, and now I think the 4th is up, as Brian mentioned. So you can go watch that if your heart so desires. Justin,
I do like Heels on Stars. It's a wrestling show. But if you liked Friday Night Lights, you'll probably like Heels.
Oh, well, I loved Friday Night Lights. Like I adored that show, except season 2 was weird, but the rest of it was amazing. It's really good. You've seen The Wire? You
agree? That was the Strike Shorten one, right?
Yeah. No. Oh, was it? Well, it's all I know is it's the one
that was
where
they ran over the dude.
Yeah, like, there was like a murder cover up the whole time.
Yeah, that was got weird. I don't know if that was 2 or 3, but yeah, there was one season that was Strike Shortened, and they like basically retconned everything away.
I'm looking at it. Looks like it was season 2, and they very quickly remedied that because 3 was great. The rest of the series is great. It's an amazing series with this strange.
It was the first time that I really that you really saw. Like, you know, there was a big cast changeover, which you're normally like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
This show sucks now that the cast changed. It's a high school show. They have to make him leave.
Yeah. Right.
And then replaced the main character with Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it turns out this was an upgrade. Screw you, other guy.
Yeah. He's really that was the first good. Place a lot of us saw Michael B. Jordan was that. It was kind of a breakthrough role for him.
He went from The Wire to that, basically. He went from, and he buffed up. That's when he started buffing up. Because in The Wire, by the time Wallace was toward the end of his story in The Wire, he was, you know, just a skinny kid.
Yeah.
And then where's Wallace? And then suddenly shows up in Friday Night Lights. I'm like, oh, okay, someone hit the gym. Looking good there, buddy. And now he's enormous, that guy.
Jeez, yeah.
No, he was great in that season. Or that whole rest of that show was great.
With great. So, yeah, Friday Night Lights is pretty much the template, I think, for Heels, which is about an independent wrestling company in rural Georgia. One brother is running it. His younger brother is also involved. It was their dad's business who tragically died, which you find out fairly quickly. I like it because I like professional wrestling, and I've always thought that independent professional wrestling would be a great place to stage a story. But the show goes out of its way to welcome in people who have no idea what this world is. If anything, it's a tedious part of it for me to watch, where they expository, like, take like Hogwarts level of dialogue to explain what and where this weird world is. Do not let that scare you off. It stars Stephen Amell, who was in Arrow.
Oh, Arrow guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have failed this city. Now you've failed this wrestling federation.
I didn't even know this existed. Now I kind of want to see it. This looks like fun. I'd watch this. And Friday Night. So basically what you said is like how Friday Night Lights was not a show for football fans.
Yes.
This is not a show just for wrestling fans. It's a show that happens to be a really great drama that happens to have wrestling at the core of its whatever.
This is very much, but basically swap teen angst and wondering about the rest of your world and having the expectations of society kind of crash down on you, and fast forward it 20 years, and now you're dealing with a bunch of guys who are in their 20s and 30s who maybe life has kind of, they're having those questions of like, well, where do I go? Like, why am I still working a job at a grocery store where every Sunday I get to be a superhero and then it ends?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the fun color of the bizarre sideshow world of professional wrestling is kind of interjected in it.
I like
that.
And
the two hottest people in the cast screw pretty much every episode.
Oh, good. Lots of like, sexy time.
Like, great.
The guy that plays his brother.
Are the two hottest people in the cast going to?
When are they going to bone? Alexander Ludwig, I know that dude. He's the brother. He plays Ace Spade in this. Good lord,
Ace Spade.
He's the
wrestling name. I ever heard one.
No, they are. Their father was King Tom, quote unquote, King Spade.
Oh,
and
wow.
He named his two sons Jack Spade and
love it.
That's hilarious. But he's great in Vikings. I like that dude.
So if you liked him in Vikings, then you will like him here. My only note with him is that they clearly love the actor so much that they cast him, I would guess, probably about, he reads about 5 years older than I think his character is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, his character is supposed to be 2 years out of high school when he had an injury and couldn't play college football.
Yeah.
Where he clearly looks like in his, you know, mid 20s, possibly. You could read him as old as like 30 because he's a man.
He's weird. He's 90. He was born in 92. And in Vikings, he plays old. Oh, he looks old anyway. But everyone did in Vikings, I guess, now that I think about it. But
he's born in 92. So what? So he's only
29, almost 30.
Go to
92. Yeah, that's
no, so yeah, he reads about as old as he really is. But that's the thing, is the character is written as if he was like, you know, only a couple years away from being in high school, basically.
Yeah, well, interesting. I'm very curious now. I had no idea we were going to get this little bomb today. This is great. I'm going to watch the show. I'm going to watch Heels.
You want to talk about White Lotus next?
Watch a guy poop in a suitcase.
Yeah,
I love White Lotus. White Lotus.
I did too.
Yeah, Brian talked about that and liked it. Yeah,
you didn't watch it?
No, I haven't seen White
Lotus. Oh, you ever want to see Steve Zahn's balls?
I do want to see his balls.
Yeah, you get.
Dude, I think that's the second episode. Like, you don't have to wait long.
First episode, I think.
Wait, you really get to see Steve Zahn's actual testicles?
They might be fake balls, but I wouldn't be shocked, because Mike White loves awkward nudity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that, who made this? Mike White, that's right.
Sack double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been
a prosthesis, or they might have gotten, although I don't know, they shot that in one hotel during COVID, and it would be really, really weird if one dude just gets to come in being the sack double.
Right. Yeah.
He can be a busboy in the rest of the scenes.
I forgot this guy wrote Orange County. I love Orange County.
Oh, Orange County, Chuck and Buck. Yeah. No, Mike White's. And if you liked any of those scripts, he loves awkward, like his his instinct, when he's at his best, and I believe this is him at his best, he does very realistic scenes that then kind of get into almost sketch comedy premise level bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, and he's got some killers, just absolute killers in this cast. Connie Britton, speaking of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Oh man, Stifler's mom. What's her name?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge, yeah.
Jennifer Coolidge is the secret weapon.
She is.
Jennifer Coolidge being so Jennifer Coolidge that it creates a black hole of Jennifer Coolidge for which everything is sucked into instantly.
Did she ever say, "What did you do with my dog, dumbass?" Does she ever do that?
If you like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's great. There's one line about her character when she's describing herself that Ashley and I have yelled at each other multiple times. It is so good. And also Alexandra Daddario, she's awesome. Steve Zahn, of course.
Connie Britton, we mentioned.
It's on my queue.
Friday Night Lights.
It's on my queue. All right. Well, this is great. We should probably tell people if you got anything else going on this week. What are you doing? Oh, you know, you talked about the Sunday, but what else could people look forward to?
I mean, that's for the Patreon. Although last week we did do PX Free Week, so everything that normally is behind the paywall was out in front, but that's over, cheapskates. Pay up. The good news is that on Friday, our next episode of PX3, I'm going to have Evan Scrimshaw, who is one of my favorite people because he writes professionally about betting on politics. So he's almost more than I am invested monetarily in who's going to win and who's not. And not only do we have a great conversation about Canadian elections, which I never talk about, but he's from Canada. He wanted to talk about, so we get a solid 20 minutes of Canadian election breakdown. And then we preview a couple upcoming races, including the newly rumored Beto versus Abbott gubernatorial matchup here in Texas, as well as him giving us a total degenerate political gambling pick. I'm not even going to reveal it, but it was in a country that I have no idea what the politics are. He told me it was free money, and I'm going to bet it. You should, too, when you listen to Evan Scrimshaw on the Politics podcast out tomorrow.
I am sold on this concept. Justin Robert Young, have a great... Oh, before you go.
The jury will now retire.
That's it. Have a fantastic one. We'll see you next time. I know. I remember now. You notice that? I don't forget.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
What's up with that?
Do you have a reminder comes up?
I don't, but I don't know. My brain finally locked it in. We're good to go. Speaking of good to go, we're good to go. That's the show, you guys. We did it. We did a show today. I don't know if you noticed, but that right there, that was a show.
We did a half show, and it wasn't a half show.
No.
We did a full show.
Yeah, we done did half show.
That was pre-show, was the half show.
Yeah, so. There you go. And you'll get a little more on the tail end when you guys vote and give us titles. So stick around for that if you're here live. Patreon.com/TMS is how you support this thing. It's how the engines keep running. If you want us to keep throwing coal in those hot holes, then so you got to belly up. Patreon.com/TMS, frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. And don't forget to send us those emails. We need your feedback. themorningstream@gmail.com. Also, just a quick shout out to Jeff Sire. He used to write in all the time. Bronco would write in all the time. I haven't heard from Jeff in ages. I just want to make sure.
Okay.
He's,
He wrote some questions for What's Your Nerd, and haven't heard from him since. So hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, we're just putting it out there. Jeff, if everything's all right, just let us know that you're still there and things are okay. I'll drop you an email later and see how you're doing. All right, that is it. We should go, but we can't go without song. You have song?
I have song. Leslie wrote in. Leslie Logan's mom said, "Hey guys, on September 21st, Logan's dad is entering the last year of his 30s.
Happy birthday to you!
Sorry.
You do it, and I should expect I should just pause, wait for it, and then
any hint of a birthday, the smell of a birthday, and I'm like, I'm hitting that button. I'm doing it now.
I do miss the Pat Morita.
Happy birthday.
Anyway. All right. So I usually try to find a cover of September, since that song is literally about the 21st of September. But since we just saw Green Day at Dodger Stadium 2 weeks ago, we both want to rock and roll all night and party every day. Could you help us do that? Thanks a bunch. Oh, and happy birthday, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
And from us as well. Happy birthday,
Chris. Yes. He's cool.
Yeah, I had no idea this existed. This is part of something called Live from Hella Mega that Green Day did. It's a cover of that song from Kiss. You know it. Rock and roll all night. This is Green Day live, and I don't think it's Billy Joe singing because the vocals sound totally different. So I'm not sure who's doing vocals on this or if it's just his voice is shot from, you know, maybe did this at the end of the concert, but it doesn't sound like Billy Joe. Here's Green Day, Rock and Roll All Night.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Ugh. Oh.